Clayton. Sean Clayton.
Enough! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, Washington's most refreshing beer.
Now, here's a six-pack of questions.
All right, Professor. We know one thing, that we once again will have only first-round bye-havers in the NFL playoffs that will make the Super Bowl, which goes back, I think it's been since 2012 in the Baltimore Ravens, that a team that played on Wild Card Weekend has made it all the way to the Super Bowl. What did you think of this weekend's games?
Oh, sorry. I was looking back at some of the tape, and I was just kind of snoring.
Oh,
I thought
maybe you were sleeping because of Danny's question.
No. It was Danny's question was fine.
It did take a long time to get there.
It was kind of like watching the Indianapolis Colts offense in the cold, or maybe watching what was going on with the Chargers as they tried to move the ball. Maybe what it was.
Or how about
like
that one Saints drive that would not stop?
Oh, it was 18 plays.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, even the offensive linemen were complaining. Larry Warfield said he was exhausted at the end of that 18-play drive. But no, I thought that other than the Saints game, I mean, it was pretty pedestrian. You figure that the Cowboys were going to be predictable in the sense that they're too conservative and they just couldn't get anything going on the road. That was predictable. I kind of thought because, again, I thought the good games were going to be in the AFC, and there was none. I mean, the Chargers, I cannot believe Gus Bradley goes in there with seven defensive backs and doesn't make adjustments as Tom Brady just picks them apart with running backs, and it was bad.
Well, and maybe the biggest surprise was the Chiefs' defense. How about that, man? They were allowing 132 yards rushing on average, held them to 87, held them to 13 points. That was a pretty really good demonstration by that defense. And, you know, we knew this, they could rush the passer, but, man, they were good against the run, too.
Oh, they were really good. I mean, I thought that was the big thing. And, of course, I mean, you know, Stinky Hands Chris Jones, I mean, he was able to bat the ball three times.
Oh, yeah, that's Stinky Hands.
Yeah, Stinky Hands Chris Jones had three batted passes, and, of course, they got three sacks on Andrew Luck. And what, Andrew was only, like, sacked 18 times. And so, you know, it's interesting because, again, sometimes you look and you see, okay, the wild card teams, and this is, again, the education that Seattle has to have. The wild card teams can be good, but it requires so much more than just good to be able to win three games and win them on the road, because so many things are working against you. I mean, that's why it was so amazing to see that Eli Manning can do it twice as a wild card and be able to win two Super Bowls, and after that, not been able to win anything. So you have to be really hot, and those two teams, the Chargers were hot, the Colts were hot, but boy, they sure cooled off in the cold.
After watching the Rams-Cowboys game, John, do you feel like the Seahawks would have had a better chance against the Rams, or they would have lost too?
I think they would have still lost, but they would have had a better chance, because, again, I think that they match up a little bit better than the Cowboys. And, again, I think that they didn't exploit what they could with Dak Prescott. I still couldn't believe in the fourth quarter. I mean, I can believe it because I predicted it. You know, they have the fourth and one. They're down by seven, or they're down by one score, and then they call the fourth and one Ezekiel Elliott right up the middle, which was so predictable, so conservative, and I'm sure that every Cowboy fan wanted Lenihan out of there, Jason Garrett out of there, and now Jason's going to get a contract extension. They're standing by Scott Lenihan. It's kind of amazing.
What'd you think of the Rams with Sean Payton, Sean McVay, when he went for it on fourth and half a yard when a field goal would have put him up by nine?
Yeah, well, that's him. I mean, he's going to be aggressive. And I guess that's the one thing that's kind of nice about this round is that say what you want. I mean, these are the division winners. These are the four best offenses in football as far as points scored. These are four of the most aggressive coaches. Now, again, Doug Peterson is also aggressive, but he got eliminated. Frank Wright was aggressive. But I think what it does show is like some of those metrics, and again, I'm not for them. I'm against them because I still think when you start going for too many fourth downs, you have too many chances to fail. But, I mean, it turned out to be a big one. I mean, it was as big as the, because here down, they're down, 14 points with the Saints, and they call that incredible fake punt that worked out so well. I guess when it comes down to it, it's not bad to be aggressive sometimes.
John, what about, this is just adds to the confusion from this year. Adam Vinatieri, 70 for 70 in postseason in extra points, and he misses an extra point. Misses a field goal, and what's the sound, John?
Doink.
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 23 yards was the shortest ever miss that he has had in his 20-year career. What's with kickers? It's unbelievable.
It's been a bad year for kickers.
It's just been horrible.
Absolutely horrible. Yeah, and it just doesn't get any better. I mean, yeah. That's the thing that's so scary is that it has been such a bad year that kickers just haven't had any chance to really be consistent. I guess some have, but most haven't. And even the ones that are good. I mean, remember Justin Tucker? I mean, he's one of the best you can ever find, and he had some bad games.
Yeah.
And so I think it's one where I still think they've hurt the game and not helped it by moving the extra points to the 15-yard line. You know, I still don't see the benefits of having 10% of your extra points missed. And when you want points, I mean, is it exciting to see a missed extra point? I mean, does it add to the elements of the game? And I think what it's done is it's thrown the kickers off.
Well, John, let me ask you to weigh in on this because Matt Nagy, did you hear this story? Matt Nagy not happy with Cody Parkey. As far as how he handled the missed field goal.
This is Cody Parkey went on the Today Show. Yeah. And we determined he's not talking to Hoda. It's a whole different segment. But he's on the Today Show. And here's Cody Parkey talking about it.
As a kicker, you know, you live for those moments. And I was, like you said, I was 3 for 3 before that. I had a lot of confidence going into that kick. So I went out there and my long snapper and holder did a great job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw the wind moving a little bit. I said, all right, this is where I'm going to play it. And obviously I didn't know it was tipped or anything. I just went down and I thought I hit a pretty good kick, you know, felt good off my foot, and then looking up, and then I saw it hit the upright, and then hit the crossbar, and I'm like, surely it'll go in. Unfortunately, bounced towards me, but obviously, I'm disappointed, that I let the fans, my teammates, and the whole organization down, but I'll continue to keep my head held high, because football is what I do, it's not who I am.
Your comments, John.
Well,
just your gut reaction?
I'm going to give you my best Dave Wyman. This is coming from a kicker. First off, what is a kicker doing on that show?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why would you invite a kicker on the show?
Talking about the agony of defeat.
Yeah, but it's like, what's the purpose? It's like, you're bringing the kicker on there, and he's a failure because he doinked 6 times during the season. And again, I still think he should change his name to Doink Doink because that's just fits him so well. And if I'm Matt Nagy, I've got to be furious because, you know, he's looking at the fact that he's one of the higher paid kickers in football. He didn't do his job, and now he gets rewarded by going on the Today Show, and I just don't get it.
Well, and yes, Danny, I did get your agony of defeat. But
geez.
Yeah, it's terrible, John. Yeah. Don't even laugh.
I tried to spell it out to make sure one got it because
I
worried it went over his head.
But John, didn't it sound like he was yucking it up there?
You did.
You know, and
no,
it
did.
But this one, unless they had a laugh track behind him, I mean, they're all sitting there laughing about the extra point there.
Yeah, and then it didn't go in. Ha 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 ha. You know, and that he just sounded a little bit too upbeat and a little bit too. It was too soon.
If you're going to go on TV, you need to wallow.
John,
we need to see you. Actual tears would be nice.
Honestly,
I agree.
Well, and if he'd have gone like this, it was just, man, it was just so depressing. I mean, my teammates, I let him down. I mean, if he had that, but he was like, oh, no, he's just telling the story and they're laughing, probably having a glass of wine there. And
that's Hoda and Kathy Lee. It's an entirely different segment.
Yeah, anyways, I'm on Matt Nagy's side on this one.
Yeah, I am too. I'm on the Wyman side because it's like, okay, what are you having a kicker on that show?
Here's Matt Nagy and what he had to say today.
We always talk about a we and not a me thing. And we always talk as a team. We win as a team. We lose as a team. And, you know, I didn't necessarily think that was too much of a we thing.
How? I don't follow that at all. He's going on this national TV show, the kicker celebrating the fact that he missed or what? I don't get the me part of it there, John. Do you?
Well, he missed the point, and he's doing a segment talking about the point that he missed, and it cost him the game and eliminated him from the playoffs. And it's like, that's a me thing. It's like, okay, so I'm using my celebrity in the sense that I'm a kicker in the National Football League, and I made one of the biggest misses this season, and so now I'm going to go on TV and talk about it.
I just disagree with that. I just think that you can look at it a different way, that he's a stand-up guy that missed it, and he represents a lot of us who fail in life at things, and how do you rebound from something like that? I can understand why Today called him and wanted him. In fact, I want to see him come to Seattle because you know the Bears are going to get rid of him,
right?
And you know that Kickin' isn't going to be the guy. So the more kickers you have in here, and let's see how this guy responds. I think he's going to respond better than Blair Walsh.
There's your smoking lock, Jim. He wants John. He wants the doinker in here. Jim's call.
He wants the guy that missed more kicks than any other kicker. He missed more kicks than any kicker in the regular
season.
Okay,
fine. But let me see what the professor says about this. Is he better than Kickin'?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
But, so is Blair Walsh.
Oh, God. We know that.
John, yeah. You're not supposed to mention that name here.
Yeah. In town. Oh, that's a bad one?
He who should not be mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
It's like Voldemort.
I want to say this. I think this is one of the bigger upsets in football viewing for me, which is that I really like Tony Romo. I realize.
I think he's great.
I think he's great in the call. I love how upbeat he is. I love how he's enthusiastic about the game. I find myself, every game he does, there's something I laugh about. And yesterday it was this. He was talking about, I think it's a third quarter completion to Rob Gronkowski. And this is Tony Romo's color analysis.
Our simple slant. And when he gets that ball, he goes, try and tackle me. Not you. You either. Let's go. It's the playoffs.
Love it. It's good stuff.
He's trying to sound like tough guy there.
A little bit. You get it at the end. It's a little bit of John Madden, but it's like, yeah.
Our simple slant, and when he gets that ball, he goes, try and tackle me. Not you. You either. Let's go. It's the playoffs.
The playoffs.
Yeah. He's less annoying. I'll say that. I mean, I was annoyed by him in the beginning. My favorite happens to be Burkhart and Charles Davis.
Really good.
Yeah. Those
and
two
such
guys.
A good guy.
Yeah, he is. He's very down-to-earth guy, very cool. Yeah, so anyway, but yeah, Tony Romo doesn't annoy me that much. But that game, John, was that the worst one? I thought the Patriot-Charger game, I thought for sure was the worst.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to that game, too.
Mm-hmm. I think we all were.
I was hoping we were going to get something out of it. Got nothing.
Oh, it was savage how bad the game was. Again, I thought it was a bad weekend, I mean, other than the Saints, and the Saints came back and just took total control.
Do you think Alshon Jeffrey should go on a Today show and yuck it up with a bunch of co-hosts about his drop?
I mean, was he playing with broken ribs? Is that right?
That I don't know.
I think one of his teammates said that he was playing with broken ribs. You could tell how touched everybody was by it and how many people went out of their way to go talk to him. What did you think how the Saints
played? I talked to Eddie Royal today, his teammate in Chicago, and he felt bad for him.
They're not killing him in Philadelphia, are they?
Oh, of course.
Oh, really? Oh,
I'm sure they are.
Ah.
It's Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not going to they're not going to get any breaks in Philly.
How'd you think of how the Saints played, John?
Really well. Because, I mean, once they got that fake punt, then they just started to roll. I thought that their energy was good. I mean, they just consistently moved the ball. I mean, they just were and it seemed like they picked up a pace that the Eagles could not keep up with.
You know, how about Alvin Kamara? And I was, who's the offensive coordinator there in New Orleans?
It's really Sean Payton, but I guess you're talking about Pete Carmichael?
Yeah, I think that's who it was saying that Kamara is as good as any receiver in the NFL at running routes. And, you know, it was amazing how they used him and his route running and catches and everything. I mean, that guy, that's going to be an awesome battle between him and Todd Gurley to see who comes out on top in that NFC championship.
Well, game. One of the things I think you can see is that now you've got the four best offenses as far as scoring in the championship round, and all have good running games and all have diverse running games. I mean, it's a great 1-2 punch now in the Rams, now that C.J. Anderson's there with Todd Gurley, an unbelievable 1-2 touch with Kamara and Ingram, and they run the ball. I mean, look at the combination with the Patriots. I mean, 15 catches with James White over 120 yards with Sony Michel. I mean, it's really great to see. And Damian Williams is kind of the sleeper of the group, but even though he's not Kareem Hunt and anywhere close to the talent of Kareem Hunt, he's still pretty good. In fact, the biggest break that they had was when Spencer Ware got hurt, and I think that was because I know he got hurt in the game that I was at against Baltimore, and that gave Williams the third string back to chance to get out there. I mean, he's able to make plays catching the ball, running the ball, and that's why they immediately gave him a 2-year contract extension.
Boy, Tom Brady, John, 34-44, 343 yards at the age of 41. And then what is this now? The eighth straight AFC championship game?
Correct, yeah.
I mean, the guy's just amazing. But do you think it ends next week? Because I think you pointed out in your Washington Post column that he struggled on the road this year.
He's 3-5 overall on the road this year. His numbers go in below 60%. He's 3-4 as far as playoff wins and losses on the road, and his numbers really drop. And he's not won a road playoff game since he turned 29 years old. I mean, that was 2006. And that's a long time. I mean, in the eight championship games, you think about that he's been in a row. There was two that he played on the road against Denver, and he only scored 16 points in one and 18 points in the other.
You realize that we have the possibility of Spygate 2, right?
Right.
Because wasn't it the Rams-Patriots game where there was even a report from somebody with one of the Boston papers, I think it was the Boston Herald, saying that the Patriots had taped the Rams walkthrough?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's a different city. Now the Rams are in L.A., but I think it'd be interesting to hear people. If that does end up being the Super Bowl matchup, there'll certainly be a lot of talk about that.
Oh, absolutely. But I think it would have been much more crazy if it would have been Indianapolis going to Foxborough.
Oh, that's true, because they were the Deflategate.
Mm-hmm, one. Yeah.
It's amazing how many of these involve the Patriots, isn't it?
Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah.
Do you think they might be up to something?
It's possible that, it's possible that they might bend the rules from time to time.
How implausible is that?
Yeah. Well, what we do know, and Jessamine was very, very clear about pointing this out, that people continue to doubt Tom Brady and all of the different adversity that he's overcome and the just lack of respect.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. I know everyone thinks we suck and, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
I was waiting for you to mention that. Thanks a lot and good luck. We'll see you next week.
Poor Tom Brady.
He's always doubted. John.
Hey, Jez, by the way, you still remember on Spygate, the great part about that was the halftime reveal, I guess you could say, where what they did is that they had a, I don't know, what's the proper way to phrase it, a short person?
That's correct.
If there would be, I don't want to use that name because I don't want to be rude, but, a very 3'6" inch person as a policeman coming over and catching him. Because he was there with another big, tall policeman. And just to rub it in, Eric Mangini had a 3'6" security guard do the busting.
Yeah, I don't really like anyone involved in the whole Spygate situation, including that one Eric Mangini basically brought the dirty secrets over with him and then turned state evidence, if you will, against the Patriots.
He snitched. He snitched.
You know, I didn't mind it as much as coming from the Jets' point of view, but still the whole thing's dirty. I appreciated it and hated it at the same time, And you know what the worst part is? Nothing ever happened.
Nothing ever happened.
Well, a 4-game suspension.
Meh.
Yeah.
For Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That didn't affect his trips to the Super Bowl. But
no, it sure didn't. John, the Patriots, what's their best chance in this game? Because you see that they come up with a new defensive game plan each and every week and try something different. Do they have much of a shot against the Chiefs' offense? They looked pretty good, man.
Yeah, I mean, of course they have a shot because, again, they're the Patriots and they're Tom Brady and they figure out a way to do things. The big thing is, I think that it all comes down to Tom because he's the one that's going to suffer the most because he struggles on the road. The footing's not going to be good at 10 degrees. I mean, it's going to be minus wind chill, which is now one of the reasons I'm thinking about passing on this game. And so I'm not going to go, I think, to this game. But overall, I think that you can see that the Chiefs have such a big edge. And what's going to be interesting about this is that it gets Patrick Mahomes now in the position to start taking over for some of the great quarterbacks through 2004 and beyond that. Because if you really, and 2008 too, because since 2001, there's only been four quarterbacks in the AFC that have won Super Bowls. Five by Tom Brady, two by Ben Roethlisberger, one by Joe Flacco, and two by Peyton Manning in two different cities. That's it. And so, they talk about, you can't have a high cap number on a quarterback, which, of course, that's all ludicrous. It still comes down to those four quarterbacks have dominated the Super Bowls.
Hey, John, how's Nathaniel Hackett going to work with Aaron Rodgers? I'm wondering if he approves of that. He's the new offensive coordinator in Green Bay. Came from Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You think that's a winning combination for Aaron Rodgers? What do you know about him?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter because I think Matt LaFleur is going to be the play caller unless they made a little bit of a change there because, I mean, LaFleur was the one brought in to get along with Brady and, to get along with Aaron. And if he doesn't get along with Aaron, then he'll be looking for a job in about 2-3 years.
Hey, John, which underdog has a better chance of winning in the championship games, the Rams or the Patriots?
I'd say the Rams, just because I just think it's – maybe I'm – of course, I overlooked. I thought the Patriots were going to lose to the Chargers, so it's like I leave myself vulnerable there. But I just look and like what I see of the Chiefs at home. Now that they ended their streak since 1994, they had not won a home playoff game. When Joe Montana was pacing the sidelines and trying to get that victory. So they finally get the home, and I think now with the crowd, the cold, everything else, Brady coming to town, I think they can do it.
Yeah, boy, I'm looking at the forecast for Kansas City. It's supposed to be 14 degrees and sunny, but the kickoff, I think, is it's going to be a night game there, so it's probably going to drop into the single digits.
Oh, yeah, and I think the wind chill is going to be in the negatives, so that's not going to be positive for Tom Brady. Again, he's not intimidated by the cold, but I think it's just going to be very, very tough.
John, what do you think is going on with Kyler Murray? We're going to talk about that here in a second and what we'd do if you were in Murray's situation. But he's declared that he's entering the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that he's not going to play baseball. But what do you think is going on there?
Well, I mean, what's going on is that I think he realized he can get more money early by doing it this way. Now, he can get $4 million, and I think he was trying to parlay that into $14 million, and he had the league with representatives there to break some of the rules and allow that to happen. But I think in the end, he just took the fact it's like somebody gave him a first-round grade, and he's going to go somewhere in the first round. Now, right now, I look at him like I looked at Baker Mayfield at the beginning of last season, where he was rated as a low first-round pick. I still wonder, can a 5'9 quarterback really do that well and be worth a first round pick? But it just seems with the lack of quarterbacks that are available in this year's draft, he's going to make it, and it looks like somebody will take him in the first.
If he comes out, well, he's entering the draft, we know that. Do you think Arizona takes him number one overall? They've got a coach for it.
No, they've got Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
I mean, can you, let's put it this way. I mean, it's shaky that they took Cliff Kingsbury. Could you imagine if they take Cliff Kingsbury and a 5'9 quarterback?
I think a couple of years ago he made a comment that he would take him.
He did. He said that
he doesn't have the choice in this.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he couldn't even talk Sarkisian into keeping the job that they offered him.
Yeah, that's true as well, because Sarkisian ended up deciding to go to Alabama. I guess go back to Alabama, but he never really served long-term as their offensive coordinator. That was a weird one. Do you think he just feels that Kingsbury was on too shaky a ground there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he did. Not getting good reviews on that hire so far.
Kingsbury?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder why. Getting a guy that got fired from his last college coaching job?
Mm-hmm. 45 and 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
How old is he?
He's almost 40. 30,
39.
Almost,
yeah, 39.
39, yeah. Hey, John, who do you think
By the way, going back to Randy Kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie
Kitchens, I'm sorry. Yeah, Freddie Kitchens. I mean, the weird part is, you talk about how fast the NFL is, trying to find coaches. He doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
Really?
What? Yeah. We got to make one for him.
Yeah, because he'll have one, I'm sure, but it's like I'm trying to get his birth date, and he doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. Well, how can you hire a head coach without a Wikipedia page?
Maybe you typed in Randy Kitchens.
Well, that could be.
Here, I'm doing it right now, John. Let's see. Freddie Kitchens. He's got one.
Oh, we got one? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's good.
I'm looking if Jim Moore has a Wikipedia page.
November 29th, John. He's 44 years old.
Okay.
He does not. There's a Jim Moore that played baseball. He was a pitcher.
Wait, Freddie Kitchens is 44?
Yeah, he played for Pan Pac here in Seattle.
Wow. Oh, really?
Yeah, he looks older than that.
No kidding.
Pretty good. Yeah. Hey, John, who do you think the Elway's going to go to get for his quarterback? Because, man, he just it's not like, oh, poor John Elway or anything, but, I mean, he's not been very successful in finding the right quarterback.
Well, I'll tell you what, he had a big success story today because if Mike Solari was the assistant coach of the year, by pulling Mike Munchak out of Pittsburgh and putting him in Denver, that could be good for at least two or three wins because he's that good as an offensive line coach. And so that's the first good move that he's made. I think maybe the second good move was getting Vic Fangio, 60-year-old coach, and looks like he's going to put together a pretty good staff. At this stage with the 10th pick in the draft, I mean, it might have to be the Duke quarterback. It might have to be the West Virginia quarterback. But I think they are taking a quarterback. And, maybe they'll stay with Case Keenum for a year. If not, then they'll go get Joe Flacco or maybe get Nick Foles.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who I saw over the weekend and I had no idea he was there? Alex Gibbs was on the Saints sideline.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was like, what in the heck?
Yeah.
Was it 10 years ago he retired instead of coming to coach with Pete Carroll like a week before the regular season started?
What was that about?
Yeah, I wonder what the connection is there.
Yeah. All right, Professor, we always appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good.
If you missed any of the Cold Hard Facts brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, you download the podcast, 710sports.com. Kyler Murray's got his choice. Which way would you go if you were him? We'll talk about that next.
This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere.
Everywhere.
At 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
It's a happy hour. It's brought to you by Heritage Distillings, batch number 12 vodka. There are 4.67 million reasons for Kyler Murray to choose to play baseball. There might be even more for him to choose to play football. The Oklahoma quarterback who won the Heisman Trophy, who last year was drafted in the top 10 by the A's, He has announced he will enter the NFL draft. That doesn't mean he's going to play NFL football, but it's certainly a step in that direction. I think this is a fascinating decision. What would you do if you were him?
It just has to be about what is the game that you love the most. It has to be. Because, look, money is going to come, but, you know, if you made some kind of a – it sounds corny, but you kind of have to go with your heart. And that's, you know, I always say about football that, like, if you're not 100% in, man, it's tough. Like, I remember my son the first time he played football. I picked him up, and he was in his pads, and, you know, it was double days and everything. And he's like, I'm sore, I'm tired, it's hot, and I love it. And I said, oh, that's great. That's, you know, you have to love, like, the miserable parts of it. So, you know, look, I think I don't like it when football players do this, when they say that, I want my kid to play baseball or golf. I'm like, why? Football's like the greatest game in the world. Why wouldn't you not want your kids? And obviously they're saying that because they don't, you know, they don't want them to get injured and things like that. And it is more of a risk, certainly with injury and everything. But you have to go with that part of it. Here's the thing about Kyler Murray, and this is what I have heard, and this may be no better than a rumor, but that he's not a team guy. You know, that he is not, he's more of a baseball player than he is a football player, as far as in his heart and how he interacts with teammates and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, I there's good money either way, right?
Yes.
How about, is there no chance anymore for a Bo Jackson or a...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'd like to see him do both.
Yeah.
I wondered that as well. I'm not sure how you'd have to be so good. You would have to force a team to let you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, and that's really what Bo Jackson did. Bo Jackson was so good that he could force that. And Deion Sanders was so good at football that he could make a football team put up with whatever he wanted to do with his schedule. And even then, Deion changed teams an awful lot. As a quarterback, it strikes me that it would be almost impossible with the demands that an NFL team and the expectation an NFL team.
No, you're right. Yeah.
But if you're good enough, you can force. Look, it takes a matter of somebody digging in their heels.
Well, Dave, here's one for you, though. What if you were told, and I'm with you on that, if I'm Kyler Murray's dad, I'm just saying, well, look, son, whichever one you're most passionate about.
Yeah.
But what if you're told that you're going to be a better baseball player than football player, projected to be anyway, and yet football is the one you're most passionate about?
Well, I just don't think that you'd be convinced of that if you love football that much. You know, if somebody is like, are we looking into the future? Is this a hypothetical where there's a crystal ball and we know where he's at the end of his career?
Yeah, well, that's what I was just thinking, because I don't know which one that he projects out better as. I mean, I'm just looking at some of the numbers there that he had at Oklahoma. He hit 296 for the Sooners with 10 home runs and 47 runs batted in. He's an outfielder. But we've seen, Dustin Ackley being number two overall. Mike Zunino, number three overall. This guy was number nine overall. And boy, it's really hard to project. In the NFL, if you're number nine overall, you're probably going to make it. Except as a quarterback?
Yes. I would agree with you. I would say this, like, what's he more likely to succeed at? I can't say it's football. Because as successful as he's been, he's 5'9", and he's coming from an offense and plays a style that has not necessarily always translated well to the NFL. That's changing.
Are we sure he's 5'9"?
Yes.
Because I've seen 5'11 and 5'10 for him, and taking into account that they sometimes jack that up a little bit.
He's shorter than Russell Wilson.
He's 5'9".
Yeah, he's shorter than Russell.
Yeah. I remember I was 6'4 in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I went to the combine, and I was 6'1 and 15 sixteenths.
You know what I was at the end of my freshman year in high school? 4'11 and a half.
Yeah, because that teacher didn't give you the extra.
I hope she died lonely. I hope she died lonely.
Well, here's the other thing about Kyler Murray. I don't know if this means anything, but I was looking at his 2017 stats. He only played in 27 games. He batted 122. I mean, it's not like... I mean, I don't know how good of a baseball player. Is he supposedly like a first round or high? Wait, drafted,
if they gave
right?
him $4 million as
yes,
a signing bonus.
They gave him a signing bonus. But this is the A's stab at the idea that if he dedicates himself to baseball exclusively, we'll get that kind of athlete, and he's going to make huge leaps. You would think a similar sort of thought process happened with someone like Russell Wilson. Hey, that good an athlete. And I know that even when Russell after Russell had stopped playing baseball when he was drafted to Seattle, one of the directors of the Rockies organization, which had drafted him out of college, out of NC State, had said, we always thought his stats weren't great, but we had always thought that, hey, if he really dedicated himself to baseball, that he could be a big league player. I'm not sure about that, and it certainly worked out great for Russell. But it's an interesting question because the other side of it is that if you're going to get – if he's drafted in the first round of the baseball draft or of the NFL draft, if he's a first-round pick in the NFL, he'll be guaranteed more money than that signing bonus from the A's because you always see through your first 4 years, almost always. And the amount of money that you're certain to receive, it would be above that. I think the end of the first round is about $8 million that you end up getting over the first 4 years. Yeah, you get twice as much.
He's in a great spot, though, because he can be talking to Billy Bean and say, well, look, this is if I declare, or I have declared, and if I enter the NFL draft, I'm going to get eight. How much do you want to offer me to avoid doing that?
And if you're the A's, would you really, because he's 2 years, 3 years, heck, he might be 4 years away from making the big leagues.
He's still 21.
He's 21, but he's got, like David said, it's not like, this is not going to be a player that projects to be a big league player this next year or even the year after that. It's a fascinating thing to me. I did find myself wondering about, though, the idea of the multi-sport athlete. We might not ever see that again. Mm-hmm. And it's not like it was frequent, but yeah, guys, Danny Ainge, right? He was a pro baseball player. He played in the Blue Jays organization.
That's right.
And then ended up going on to an NBA career.
I remember there was some rumor that after we played the Atlanta Falcons that Deion Sanders had to go over and get on a helicopter to fly to a game, and I'm like, wait, weren't the stadiums like right next to each other? I can't remember where Fulton County was. It might have been removed. There was another player, Brian Jordan.
That's correct.
That was also a baseball player.
He was a safety for the Atlanta Falcons, yeah. And he was an outfielder for the St. Louis Cardinals.
And we got a local example, too. Remember Mark Hendrickson from from Mount Vernon?
Go Cougs. So,
yeah, go Cougs. And he was an basketball NBA and baseball.
He was a basketball and baseball player. Pitched in the big leagues and also played in the NBA.
The biggest shame I think that's ever happened it was when Bo Jackson hurt his hip. And I can still picture that tackle. I remember watching the film. They're playing Cincinnati, and it was in the Coliseum, and the guy just dragged him down from behind, and I guess it dislocated his hip or something like that. But, man, just it was such a sort of benign-looking tackle. And for a guy that was such a great athlete, it was just, it was hard to square that like now we don't get to see this guy anymore.
What was Bo like to play against?
He was good, man. I mean, I didn't.
Did it feel like somebody, because I feel like the legend of Bo has gotten built up, yeah, of like, that's the greatest athlete the world has ever seen.
Boy,
was it like that?
He's up there. I mean, you look at his stats, good. The home runs he had for the Royals, and boy, yeah, he was a good two-way player.
He was one of those guys once he got going, you know. But I just remember, well, I'll tell you this, when we were playing him during that period of time, I thought Marcus Allen was a way bigger threat. And Marcus Allen would hit you, too. I mean, he was a tough guy for a skinny guy. So I always thought he was a better threat than Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson was more of like a home run hit. But, you know, they had some athletes, and that's the thing. Oakland has always, the Raider organization has always been totally obsessed with speed. And I'll never forget Bo Jackson ran for like a 90-yard touchdown, and he was flying. And Rusty, our coach, he timed him in a flying 40, so he's up to speed. And that's what we used to time for, like Rufus Porter had some ridiculous flying 40. That means it's a 40-yard time, but not from a dead stop. It's like once you have your momentum. And so Bo Jackson had it was some ridiculous number. And at that point in the run, Willie Gault went past him and like ran past Bo Jackson. Willie Gault was like, he was another guy that was a track guy.
Fast Willie Gault.
Oh my goodness. Did I ever tell you the story about my buddy at LSU? He was at Tennessee.
Tennessee was,
yeah,
where Willie
Gault
was.
Tennessee. He was a kick returner, and buddy I was drafted with, it went to LSU. It was Roland Barbe. And he was sitting down near the end, kind of away from where the kickoff was going. And Willie Gault fields the kickoff and then goes past their sideline and just takes it to the house. And when he got to wherever their head coach was, he turned to him and went, beep, beep.
Did a little Roadrunner,
like
huh?
the Roadrunner. But yeah, that guy could fly, and you just they had unbelievable athletes. But it was almost like you were in awe of watching, and it wasn't so much the football part of it, although a lot of people in 87, I didn't play in that Monday night game where Boz supposedly got ran over by him, and then he ran into the tunnel and everything. But, you know, you just, for me, it was more about, wow, that dude can take his pads off and go over and do what he does on the baseball field. I mean, I thought it was more amazing to see the things that he did in baseball.
It's Danny Davenport. The Happy Hour is brought to you by Heritage Distilling's Batch Number 12 Vodka. Got a special guest commentator in the NHL. It's Snoop D-O-double-G. You'll hear it next.
Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
Yo, Sean Payton, keep talking to me. We're going to see you soon. You feel me?
Fair enough.
Yeah, because I like what you were saying on the sidelines, too. So I tell you, keep talking to me, and I hope to see you soon. You feel me? And then we're going to have a good little, nice little ball of gumbo together.
It's Marcus Peters. That was after the regular season meeting between the Rams and the Saints, and apparently he's looking forward to his meeting with Sean Payton. He wants him to keep talking that stuff, Dave.
Do we know what he was, what Sean Payton was saying?
No.
He was upset about, in their first meeting, that Payton said he liked the matchup with Michael Thomas against Marcus Peters. And he took that as an affront to his manhood or something.
Marcus Peters did some dumb things in that game. Aqib Talib finished off the evening nicely, right? Did you guys see that?
No, what'd he do?
There's a live interview of Jared Goff. And
He dropped
Aqib
the F-bomb?
Talib came over and dropped just as clear as day, right on the microphone.
Yeah, Chris Myers saw him come over, and then
he thought, pulled it away real quick.
Yeah.
I saw that, and Joe Buck complimented him, saying, well played.
Uh-oh, to
Chris Myers.
Chris Myers, yeah.
Composure in the pocket.
Another cool dude, by the way, Chris Myers. But, yeah, I look at him and Marcus Peters. Those guys are, I mean, they make bad decisions. And so I feel like that's where New Orleans definitely has.
Do you trust him? Do you trust those two? Because their defense, the Rams' defense played a lot better on Saturday night than we've seen them play in the regular season.
I'm trying
season.
To remember what Marcus Peters did on the field that was knuckleheaded.
He blows.
He had a bad tackle the other night. You talking about the other night?
Yeah.
Aikman lit him up for appearing to not even try on a tackle. And then the next play, Peters made a good one.
Right. But he did something else out there. Anyway, I wouldn't trust him over the long haul. I thought it was really funny when he threw the flag into the stands.
I agree.
I mean,
that's
hilarious. And you get fined for that. Okay, fine. I mean, you don't want to hurt your team. I think they did call a penalty on him.
Actually, you know what I just realized? Marcus Peters should be Jim Moore's favorite player in the NFL.
He's clearly not an OKG, though, Danny.
Here's why. You should love him. He did not like Jimmy Lake.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
Oh, I'll pull for him then. And I have another reason to pull for him. I can't stand Sean Payton now.
Why?
And I know it's a small thing, and it's just a reporter thing, but he got really upset with a Philadelphia reporter last Friday, and she asked a question that I thought was a reasonable question about, you know, hey, you know, do you think something about revenge and the Eagles lost by 5 touchdowns or whatever in the last minute? Yeah, you know, she was trying to get at and he just, like, dismissed her like it was the dumbest question in the world, and then he turned to the New Orleans reporters and goes, now someone asked me a good question. Well, screw you, Sean Payton. I hope he goes down in flames, and I hope the Rams and Sean McVay just lights him up. It just drives me nuts, that kind of stuff.
God forbid ever light up journalist as opposed to the other way around.
I know.
As it happens all the time.
I know it's a small thing, and it really, you know, in the big picture, but it just bugged me. I was like, well, who the hell do you think you are? Just dismissing her like that. And so I was just, that was why when Alshon Jeffrey had that ball go through his hands, that was what I was thinking. Man, it would have been cool if you could have just taken Sean Payton out and his number one seed and beaten him 21-20.
There was a scene in the Saints game late when Michael Bennett's face was shown. And my lovely wife, Sharon, said, is that Michael Bennett? I said, yes. She said, he stinks. Only she didn't use the word stinks. I was like, why don't you like Michael Bennett? He yelled at Jim Moore.
Hey, Div, we've never played that, though, have we?
Nope, that's what Sharon said.
When do you think we're going to do that?
I don't know. Maybe our last day on the air.
Could be today.
Oh, watch out. Oh, he's stalling on him. He's fired on Cubs. Hold on now. Oh, get it cracking then. Let's go. Snoop Dogg in the house. Let me see some. Drop the sticks, man. Let's get cracking, man, to the middle of the ring. Let's go.
Number three wanted. I like that. Who was number three for us?
Deion Phaneuf.
Deion, go get cracking, Deion. Yeah, go get him, Deion. Get him, Deion. Move, Deion. Get out the way. Go get him. Go get him.
Still jarring with him. A little chirping.
Okay, right. I like that.
Let's get it cracking. Snoop Dogg.
That's one of my favorite terms that he uses.
Let's get it cracking.
Let's get it cracking.
He sounded pretty good.
He did. He sounded enthusiastic. I liked it when he's, who's number three for us? Seemed like he was using the plural pretty liberally there.
Is that one of the things you're looking forward to, Dave, when the NHL comes to town?
Fighting?
Yeah, fighting. I am.
I hear that they don't, they're sort of not as bad as they used to be. Or
they're
not,
but they're, the rules of engagement are fascinating. How it's just one guy versus one guy, and you go until somebody gets fallen down to the ice. I think you're really going to like the etiquette that's involved.
And then everybody charges and pulls them apart.
That's correct.
Once somebody goes down.
Yeah. How it's sorted out.
I'm going to go back and watch my favorite sports movie of all time.
Slapshot.
Slapshot.
Yeah.
Cowboy fans everywhere. Hold on. I want to be sincere. My condolences to you. I'm really sorry that your season's over. I'm really sorry.
That's Jim's favorite, Stephen A. Smith, taunting the Cowboy fans.
I didn't. So he's got something against the Cowboys?
Yeah, it's a shtick he's using now.
Well, doesn't that go back to
probably Skip.
With Skip Bayless, because he's from Dallas, right?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I think he's from Oklahoma, but he's adopted Dallas.
Okay.
Dallas is his favorite team.
Well, didn't he write for the Dallas Morning News forever? So. Yeah. I think that's kind of funny. Dallas Cowboy fans tend to be annoying.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Almost always.
I'm trying to decide whether I should tell this story or not.
Yes, you should.
Okay. We used to have call-in on the post game, and one time we played the Raiders, and there was a Cowboy fan that called in. I'm sorry, when we played the Cowboys, the Seahawks did, and a Cowboy fan called in, and he's described Moyer and I as if two men that sound like they've never pleased a woman before, is how he, and I said, that's not what your mom said. And I don't know if I was supposed to do that. Matt Stretch Johnson might have cut me off. And I know that's very immature, but so are the Cowboy fans.
It's Dan and David Moore. We're going to find out if there's a new era of offense in the NFL and what that means for the Seahawks coming up next.